Right. Hello. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio. Here on a Monday morning, my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. They found a million-dollar treasure uncovered in the Rocky Mountains. So we're going to talk about treasures that you might have uncovered. You might not even know you have. Today is Best Friends Day. So we'll talk about our best friends and how we met. Still keep in touch. And then the best friends on TV. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke, too. All right here on 720 WGN. Well, that song, which is a jam, by the way, indicates that our good friend Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's the consumer man, consumer reporter for KOMO and checkbook.org. And you can check out his website at consumerman.com. He joins us every month, once a month, to talk about all consumer-related news stories and issues and to answer any and all of your questions or concerns that are consumer-related. 312-981-7200. Our phone lines are open, 312-981-7200. Let's say hello to Herb. Hi, Herb.
Hiya, Nick. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you holding up?
Very well, thank you. It's still Sunday night here, of course, in Seattle, but we'll get there till Monday before too long.
Yeah. So, have you shaved again, or are you letting the facial hair go?
No, I had to go on TV, so I did shave. So, but the hair is still. I'm getting ready to do the Willie Nelson braids pretty soon. So,
Willie Nelson braids. I'd love to see that, man. I'd love to see a picture of Herb Weisbaum with some Willie Nelson braids.
Not sure that will ever surface, but no, we're just still, my company, we're still at least till July, we're staying at home, working from home, so I do remote broadcasts like I do for you, with my little office at home, and, you know, we had a lot of the protesting like you did too. Things were settling down, they got a little bit violent in one part of downtown Seattle last night where they let out the flashbangs and the liquid spray again, pepper spray, but they just banned tear gas. It will not be used here for 30 days, and the mayor tonight went on TV saying she's going to investigate banning the use of tear gas forever, a ban in the city of Seattle. That's pretty nasty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's been a lot. I mean, there's been a lot of change taking place. A lot of different police accountabilities taking place here in literally the course of just a few days. So it's kind of, you know, a lot of cities it's happening. A lot of cities it's not. But there's been a lot of dialogue with the African American and other minority communities in Seattle already, and things are actually starting, which is very positive. I'm very, very glad to see that.
Yeah, I'm really liking our mayor and how she's handling this situation. I think she's doing a great job. I really do.
Good. Yeah. And the other thing was we had the looting, which we knew would probably take place the first night in Seattle.
Yeah.
But then the second night, it came across Lake Washington to Bellevue, Washington, where I live in the burbs, so to speak. And because there's a gigantic mall here, Bellevue Square, and literally some of the looting took place no more than 10 blocks away from my house.
Oh,
and there were a lot of sirens going on. And it was really kind of a tense night to see all that kind of stuff going on. These were professional gangs that had come in and literally were just taking things off in shopping carts. It was just absolutely unbelievable, some of the things we saw. That stuff has settled down, thank goodness.
Yeah, well, let's get through this, you know, just hope everything works out for the best. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So, Herb, tell everybody about yourself.
Sure. I'm the consumer reporter at KOMO Radio in Seattle. I'm also a contributing editor to checkbook.org. That's a nonprofit back in Washington, D.C. that publishes in seven cities in the country, including in Chicagoland. They rate local services, or like the consumer reports for local services. So while CR may rate paint and siding and roofing materials, Checkbook rates roofers and siding companies and painters and health clubs and daycare centers and garden centers, et cetera, et cetera. And so I do that. I have a website, consumerman.com, where I just post all the material I do, totally free, so you can get the access to this whenever you need it. And I publish a weekly newsletter, which has all my material to make it really easy for you. So if you go to the website and sign up, you'll hear from me every week. Everybody tomorrow will get the podcast of Nick's show, this appearance, and it's a good way to stay up on all the things that are happening in the consumer world.
All right. Sounds great. You do a great job, Herb, and it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. It's fun. It's good. It's nice helping people. By the way, I was just doing something which we won't talk about tonight, but for my station, I was talking to one of a real top expert in virus control at the UC Berkeley School of Public Health, And it's a big concern for us and you as well. You know, he said everybody in these protests, obviously they were putting civil rights ahead of social distancing, but there is a huge concern about the blowback from this as far as COVID-19 goes. He was saying that his suggestion to my audience here in Seattle was that if you're in one of these protests, even if you had a mask on, you have to assume there's the possibility that you were infected, and 5 days or so from your protest, the first time you hit one of these protest lines, you should probably get tested. Definitely look for signs. See if you can get free testing. We have that now starting in Seattle, that anybody can get tested. It just started Friday. And also, stay away from anybody that you could possibly infect. You know, seniors in the family, the immune-compromised, people with conditions, heart conditions, lung conditions, until you, realize that you're okay, because that is the real big concern now, that social distancing, understandably, got thrown out the window for social justice, but the virus didn't go away. It was still out there. And with people who were tear-gassed or hit with a pepper spray and were coughing and the eyes tearing and the nose running, I mean, that's just the worst possible scenario you could have for spreading the virus. So I just wanted to share that with your audience, because there's protesting all around the country. If you were in there, just keep an eye on yourself and do what you can to try to protect the ones around you.
Yeah, that's great advice, Herb. And we agree with everything that you just said. Lots of consumer stories to talk about, Herb, and also the phone lines are open. If you have a consumer-related question or concern, Herb is here to help at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Herb, hang on.
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us, joins us every month. He's our consumer man, and we'll get to the news stories, and if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Skyline studio here on a Monday morning. We're here until 4 o'clock. Lots of stuff going on in the show this morning, including my dad calling in and telling a joke. And we'll play a little classic Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson show you can watch every night on Antenna TV, and we always play a little slice of comedy from that. We do that at 2:30 every morning. The classic Carson that we're going to play, Phyllis Diller from 1982. Hilarious. All right. Herb Weisbaum is the consumer man. You can check out consumerman.com. If you have a question concerning any kind of consumer issue or concern, 312-981-7200. All right, Herb, let's get to it.
By the way, you know I do a lot of radio shows. You're the only one that's ever played Tennessee Ernie Ford. It takes a lot of guts to play Tennessee Ernie Ford.
That was Tom who chose that one.
I like that song.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
It's a classic.
You know? Okay.
All right. So let's talk about some of these consumer stories that you wrote with. Now you can check your credit files once a week for free. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is a really big deal, because in this day and age, when there's a lot of people getting a lot of special dispensation because of what's happening with the economy, you know, people are putting off paying or being allowed to put off paying some of their loan payments. They're maybe deferring some of their payments to their credit card, that sort of thing. There's a lot of things that could go wrong with your credit file that could have dramatic impacts on other aspects of your life. And so what has been done now, came out that the credit bureaus are going to allow you to check your credit file once a week, which is really good, and for free. So that's really good. So what you can do is you can go to annualcreditreport.com. It's just one portal that you go to. This was set up by the federal government years ago, and you can go to see what your credit file looks like. You're not going to get your credit score from there. The credit file is what your credit scores are made from. It's the information. It's all the back-end information that the algorithms use then to generate that credit score. So if the information in your credit report is wrong, you will have an erroneous credit score, which could, if it's negative, could really impact you. So, and you know from previous life what happens when you have a negative credit score. So you don't want that to happen. A lot of bad things can literally happen to you.
Oh, yeah.
So
Oh, yeah.
This is really great that people can go do that. And, what you want to do is you want to look through the report, and you want to make sure that everything is accurate and nothing in there is wrong. And it starts with your personal identification, you know, that has got your name and you and everything right, and your employment history. And, you know, want to make sure that's all correct. You want to make sure that any credit inquiries in there are correct, or credit cards that you have are correct. You know, if there's a loan in there you didn't take out, a credit card you didn't take out, there's credit inquiries, apply for credit at some stores that you didn't actually apply for credit. That's a warning sign that somebody is trying to use you as a victim of identity theft. And that's some red warning sign flag that should go up that you have to really be careful and take some other steps. But you just want to look for all that kind of stuff and make sure everything's okay. If it isn't okay, then you have to take steps to either address the issue of identity theft or erroneous information. They have processes in place where you can challenge the information and have that information corrected. But again, it's really, really important to do this because, you know, let's say that the mortgage company cut you some slack and said you don't have to pay your mortgage for a couple of months, and you didn't, and then they turned it into your deadbeat to the collection agency. That's going to dramatically, you know, maybe 100 points or more drop your credit score. So that's really, or if you, you know, were given dispensation from your credit card company, you don't have to pay for a couple of months, that's fine, but then they report you to the credit bureau. That's going to have a negative hit on your file, which will then have a negative hit on your credit score, which could have a lot of impacts. Negative credit scores can range impacts everything from you won't be able to rent an apartment. In some states, it can raise the insurance premiums that you pay. It can make it harder to get a job. It can raise the interest rate you pay on your debt, like your credit cards. It can keep you from getting a credit card. It could keep you from getting an auto loan. It could affect you getting a student loan. Lots of negative impact from having a bad credit score, especially if it's one that you did not deserve. And the CARE Act, the one that started all this, that's the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, Economy, Security Act, the CARES Act, actually addressed this, so it actually says that these things have to be reported correctly to the credit bureau. So it actually puts the creditors, doesn't do a lot, but it actually puts the creditors on notice that if they told you that everything was okay, they can't be reporting to the credit bureau that said you're deadbeat because we told you you could take 30 days or 60 days or 90 days off in paying your mortgage. So that's why you want to check this. I don't think you have to check it every week, but certainly maybe once a month, every couple of weeks, just to make sure. I checked it when I did the story and made sure that everything was okay. You just don't know. And we've talked about this on the show before, Nick, but con artists have not taken time off. As a matter of fact, they're running rampant now with coronavirus, and you know there's a lot of stuff being done remotely, and it's basically a field day for the bad guys. And if you have not yet frozen your credit reports, you have to do it at all three credit bureaus. Please, everyone listening, make a note this week and go and freeze your credit reports. Go to Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Look for a security freeze. Just put that in the search in the search engine there. It'll take you like a minute or so to set up a PIN to lock the thing up, and that will keep anybody who gets your personal information from opening new credit card accounts or loans or taking out accounts in your name. It won't stop all identity theft, but it will stop many, many of the financial types of identity theft that could take place. So check your credit report and freeze your credit files at Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. It's free. It happens virtually, and nowadays it's almost in a couple of hours. And if you need to do something, you want to take out a car loan, you want to apply for a mortgage, you want to get that credit card when you show up at Macy's or whatever on the spot, you just go on your app or you go on the online, you unfreeze your account, you thaw it, and you can apply for credit, and you can like do it for an hour, a day, whatever, and then it relocks back up again. So, and it's free. You used to have to pay each way. Now it's completely free both ways. So there's absolutely no reason why not to do that. And do it for your kids, because kids are a target for identity thieves. Over 1 million kids last year were victimized by identity thieves because they have nice, beautiful, pristine, clean credit histories that a bad guy would like to use for years and years and years until they become they're no longer a minor and apply for credit. They can run a field day with their background. So lock up your kids' accounts too.
Okay. We got a question here. What's the best way for a young person, speaking of young people, what's the best way for a young person to start building credit?
Well, there are a couple of ways. First of all, there are what are called student credit cards, specifically designed for people who are students. They have different, they're lower limits and different things like that. They're specifically designed for the student. You can also get, when I was starting out, and it's still true, one of the easiest ones to get a card is from the oil companies. Get a gas card. And they're pretty liberal with their underwriting, what they look for, and get the card and pay the bill off. You know, every month, so you're not getting any interest payments. You don't want to have any late payments whatsoever, and you'll start to build up a history and get your credit history. If for some reason you can't get a card, there's something that's called a secure credit card, which you can do, which is you put, let's say, $500 in the bank, and then you get $500 of credit. So you're basically using your own money that you have in this account, but it's a way to prove to lenders that you're responsible, that you will pay your bills, and after time, you can show that you have a history, and then apply for a real credit card. The one thing you don't want to do is don't use a debit card. I don't think a debit card is going to help build a credit history and help you out, as a lot of people do. A debit card is basically a check. There's no credit involved. You're using your own money through your checking account. There's no lender. There's no creditor. There's no credit check. Using a debit card will do nothing to help you get a credit history and help you get. So you have to actually have credit. Get a student credit card or get one of these gasoline credit cards or even sometimes a retail credit card. They have very high interest rates, but you know what? If you pay it off every month, you don't have to worry about the interest rate. You just have to worry about building up your credit. You could charge a couple of small things, pay it off right away, and that's how you build up a credit history.
I remember my first credit card, Herb. Mm-hmm. It was Montgomery Ward's.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the first thing I bought with a credit card was a baseball bat.
Oh, okay.
That was the first thing. That was the first thing. Cool.
Right.
Montgomery Ward's no longer exists. Monkey Ward's.
Nope, that was a big name in retailing.
Yeah, it was. It was, it was the very first credit card. I remember my limit was $500.
Oh, well, you know, back then that was a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, you learn your lessons about credit cards when you get them at a young age. I can tell you that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you get a student debit card, a credit card or whatever, where the limits are low, you can't really get yourself into too much trouble.
Right.
Oh, by the way, one other thing you can do is you can talk to the family, and your parents could put you on as an authorized user of their credit card.
Oh, right.
So in other words, you will get a card in your own name. It will be tied into their account. They will be able to track what you're doing, which is why parents like it. It's not a cosigner situation, which is not a good thing to do, because then the parents are liable for everything their kids do if there's a problem. But this is the way to go, an authorized user. But you get your own credit history by doing that. So if you charge things and pay it off and get it all taken care of, you will be, and that's easy to do because your parents already have the credit established with a lender, and then they get you a card in your name, and then you start to build your credit history. So that's a really good way, too.
Okay. All right. That's great advice. All right, Herb, hang on.
You got it, Nick.
All right. We've got more consumer stories with Herb, and if you have any questions or concerns consumer-related that you want to ask about with Herb, he's here to help out. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Okay, Herb, hang on. And Herb is with us. And we would like to hear from you as well. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago here until 4 a.m. as we are every weekday morning. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke and much more. 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. We would love to hear from you if you have a consumer-related question or concern. Our good friend Herb Weisbaum is with us. You can check out consumerman.com. And we're talking about consumer issues and stories and taking your calls at 312-981-7200. Herb, people were calling in. They came in a little bit late. The annual credit check. What's the website again to do your credit check like that?
You go to annualcreditreport.com, and then that will link you to the three credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, to get your free once-a-week credit report. Not credit score, but credit
report. Okay. There you go.
If you want to get your credit score, a lot of banks give it away for free now as a part of the service. Credit card companies do, or you can join a website like credit.com or something like that. There's a number of websites now that, as part of the deal, you got to give them your Social Security number, so it is a little risky if they ever get hacked. But if people who want that, if you don't get it free from your credit card or bank, you can do it that way.
Okay. Let's talk about the story concerning stimulus Visa cards.
Yeah. This was a strange one that a friend called me up and said, you're not going to believe this one. So, you know, the first round of the stimulus money came via direct deposit, right?
Yeah.
Second round came by a check. Well, there's a third round, and this round is by Visa prepaid debit card, which is totally bizarre, and no one knew about, including yours truly, until I investigated it. But that's what happened. So people, there are about 4 million Americans, the Treasury Department says, that are going to get their stimulus payment. These checks just started going out in mid-May via this Visa debit card. It's issued by a bank called MetaBank. It arrives in a plain envelope that says it is from the Money Network Cardholder Services in Omaha, Nebraska. So it's truly no wonder that some people are reporting that they threw it away and opened, assuming it was junk mail or destroyed the card because they were afraid it was a scam. And then inside, there's a piece of paper that says U.S. Treasury Department. This is enclosed as your economic impact statement card. It's got their logo on it. But, you know, again, it doesn't have anything on the card from the Treasury. Doesn't have anything on the outside. Anybody could print a thing in with a logo. You'd copy that off the website and put it on a piece of paper. So people were really nervous about it. Well, it turns out it is true. This is really legitimate, that this is the way for the government is giving away money to 4 million people. And when asked why the things were being sent out in a plain envelope, which is just a little bizarre, the spokesperson for the U.S. Treasury Department basically said this was done in order to prevent fraud in a tweet. That's how she explained that. And then when the IRS was asked and the Treasury Department why they're doing this, how can people get picked for this, why aren't they getting a check, basically a news release on the IRS website said, quote, "The determination of which taxpayers receive a debit card was made by the Bureau of Fiscal Service, a part of the Treasury Department that works with the IRS to handle distribution of the payments." In other words, we did it because we did it.
That's so weird.
Isn't that weird?
This is just a weird story.
Yeah, if you go online, you see there people say, "I thought it was some bank trying to get me to apply for a credit card. I threw it away, or I chopped it up, or whatever." The good thing is, you can get it replaced if you realize you screwed up and did destroy it or throw it away or something like that, because you know you need to contact I guess you would contact the MetaBank that I have on the story linked with the story and contact them right away. That's Money Network, and let them know, because remember, this card is loaded with could be up to $3,000 or something like that. I mean, this could have some skin or more, $3,400, significant money on it. They will replace the card for free once. So if you did do that, you can contact them, this Money Network, and hopefully could work things out and get it back. But it's just one of those really free ones. And by the way, while most of the transactions are free on this card, there are some things where there are going to be fees if you want to make a withdrawal of cash from an ATM that's not in the network for this company, and if you want to check the balance, there are some fees involved. And as the guy who contacted me said, this really was a pain. I mean, you have to transfer this to your bank, and a check I could have deposited. I could use it's COVID. I could have used a cell phone. I could have just taken a picture. So it's really a little bit inconvenient for people, and it's just really strange. But that's what's being done, and I thought I'd let people know. So,
you know, if I receive something like that in the mail, I would automatically think it's a scam.
Yeah, and in a plain envelope. I mean, you know, that's to prevent fraud. It's very bizarre. It's something that you would associate with the government doing something like this. So anyway, it's just that's what that is. So be aware of that. So if you haven't gotten any of your money yet, you may be getting a debit card. And if you did something with it, you might want to call this MetaBank and figure out what to do with it. So
right.
Maybe they can reach it for you.
Wow, it's so strange. So strange.
And by the way, because if you needed the money, there's limits. The limits on this card are you can only take out, if you wanted to go a cash machine, it would be no charge if it was in your network. So there's no charge, but you can only take out $1,000 a day or in one transaction. And there may be, and some banks would have limits. Like I know some banks are only a couple $100. You couldn't even get access to your money from the ATM. You'd have to go through the process of somehow converting this through your bank and getting the money into your checking account and maybe having to wait a day or two for that to happen. So it's just totally bizarre.
Yeah.
And no explanation from the government as to why they're doing it or why you were qualified. I mean, they obviously have your address if they're mailing it to you, right? They could mail you a check.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's just so strange. Yeah. Anyway, the story was up on checkbook.org if you want to read the story.
Wouldn't you assume, by the way, that the bank isn't doing this for free? I would just assume that the banks, if you were a bank issuing cards, wouldn't you be paid for this probably, where a check comes from the IRS or the Treasury Department?
I would guess, yeah.
It's just, I don't know. You're right. It's bizarre.
It's a weird story. That's a weird story. All right. Well, you can read the whole thing up at checkbook.org. Herb Weisbaum is with us, and here is Robert on WGN. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, real quick, is my niece is, a young child, bought a $22,000 electrical motorcycle from Amazon. Is there a way for all parents who are listening to somehow put like a child safety or some. And again, we're talking about a 6-year-old kid, and he pressed by 6 times. The only and again, so they zapped her an email saying, "Do you really want 6 of the these BMW whatever they were?" And she goes, she just pressed 1. She didn't actually read it. They mm-hmm. sent her a $25,000 electrical motorcycle in the mail, and that cost her about $2,500 to figure it all out. So is there some way, because there's millions upon millions of people who have these Amazon accounts now?
Right. I don't know if there's a – honestly, I've never heard of that before, a situation like this where – I mean, I think that – doesn't Amazon ask you when you sign up or go on what your age is? I don't know. But I don't know how they would know if you were a kid playing a game. I would think 6 would be suspicious. Something should have – some red flag should have. How was she paying for this?
They sent her whatever and said, do you want 6 of these? She didn't read it.
Okay.
She said, okay. I just want one, because she buys stuff all the time on Amazon. I just want one. And they sent it to her, because remember, if it's electric, it can go through the mail.
Right. So, how did she pay for it?
Pardon me?
How did she pay for it?
Oh, it comes off her Amazon account.
Your 6-year-old has an Amazon account?
No. The 6-year-old got a hold of her mom's phone.
Oh.
And ordered it on her mom's phone. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is there some way to?
Well, maybe mom needs to out with her what she leaves on her phone so her daughter can get to it, or have a lock on her phone.
Obviously not.
You can get a lock on your phone, Robert.
I mean, every phone has
a lot of parents don't.
Well, they should.
Well, I have to take. Stability here. 6-year-old should not be able to get into your phone. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's why they have locks to keep criminals out and to keep kids out. You probably have other apps to go to credit cards and shopping and that kind of thing. I mean, the parent has to take some responsibility and, talk to Amazon. I would contact their customer service and explain to them the situation. They may decide to do a customer friendly and take back the charges for shipping it. But I think some of the responsibility here has to be on the parent. You got to lock that phone and not let your kids on it. I mean, but that's the way
it is. That's what you got to do. All right, Robert, thanks for the call. Hope everything works out. Here's Janet on WGN. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I have a question about who you have to give your Social Security number to. A lot of times when you're applying for credit or auto insurance or renters or health insurance, I know the IRS has to have it, maybe health insurance, but who do you have to give it to and who should you refuse?
You have to give it to anyone who is going to have to do a credit check in order to give you the credit you're asking for. You don't have to. You don't have to get the credit. But if you want credit, the only way they can check your credit file to get that credit score is using your Social Security number. So if you're applying for a credit card, if you're applying for a car loan, if you're applying for a mortgage, if you're going to rent an apartment, anything that involves credit, if you want that credit, you are asking for the credit. When you apply for that, you are going to have to give them your Social Security number so they can check out your credit file and get a look at your credit score and see if you're a good credit risk or not. In many cases, in medical.
Insurance. They want it for auto insurance or for renter's insurance. Why do they need it?
Well, because for an auto insurance, they're using your credit score in order, in many cases, to determine what kind of risk you are. And the only way they get your credit score is by using the Social Security number. And in many cases, they are probably going to want to know if you're a person who pays your bills or not. So they want to check out if you're a credit risk or not. The other time you have to use it is medical. A lot of medical institutions still look up medical records based on Social Security numbers. Some of them have switched to clinic numbers or hospital numbers as well, or your birth date of birth. But if the only way, and you should fight back, I mean, you should say, can't we look this up some other way? And in many cases, they'll say yes. In my where I went downtown Seattle for many years, a hospital, they would ask for Social Security number. And I'd say, isn't there another way we can look this up? Well, yeah, your date of birth or your clinic number. Okay, let me give you one of those. So you can use that. In many cases, some cases, people have been asked to give credit to open up their cable account, which, again, they may want to check your credit report. But in some cases, if you say, can I give you some other piece of ID, they'll say, sure, give me your driver's license number just so we know it's legitimate yours. But that's the reality of where we live. And if you want certain things that involve credit, you've got to give them. And as long as you are the one that provides it, and as long as you know who you're talking to, that's the world we live in. That's what you have to do. It's when somebody out of the blue contacts you and says, I need your credit card number, I need your Social Security number, that's when things get very, very dangerous, because it's odds are it's a con artist.
So, All right, Janet.
To your question.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Yeah, there's the con artists don't stop, you know. It just and especially in a situation like this, people are filled with anxiety. And these jerks take advantage of that. I mean, they have no conscience whatsoever.
And let me be the first to say that I do not believe that Social Security numbers should be used to identify people. And Congress, when they set up the Social Security Administration, clearly said in the legislation, this is not meant to be a national identifier. But because of ease and laziness, it has become a national identifier. But the problem is that it's virtually impossible to change your Social Security number for obvious reasons. You could do identity theft all over the place if you could change it at a drop of a hat. So if somebody gets it, it makes your life a living hell for the rest of your life. And, I mean, imagine they steal some kid's ID and get his Social Security number at a really young age. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better system. But nobody's really gives two hoots and a holler at the national level about changing that. But it really is time to think of another system and deal with something other than a immutable Social Security number.
Yeah. Okay, Herb, hang on.
You got it.
Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is our consumer man. We've got more consumer stories to talk about. And if you have questions or concerns in the consumer world, we'd be happy to help you. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. 5% appear to see. Yeah. Hi, that's the Beatles. Beatles. That's a throwback to Bob Collins. One of the greatest moments in radio history. Taking it to the post by going, Beatles! Nick DiGilio here, Skyline Studios, where we are. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Hey, it's our good friend Herb Weisbaum. He's the Consumer Man. You can check out consumerman.com. Lots more consumer stories to talk about. And, of course, phone lines are open. So if you have any questions or concerns, you need some help from Herb, he's here. 312-981-7200. Hi, Herb.
Not only was it the Beatles, but it was John Lennon in the lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was just telling
Tom off the air when we started playing the bump that is one of the best bass lines in music history.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Such a great song. And the Beatles were pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Herb is here. And we're talking about some of his stories and consumer issues, and we would like to hear from you as well, 312-981-7200. Okay. So the American Customer Satisfaction Index did a survey of cell phone customers, and they do this all the time. And what were the rankings for your best cell phone service providers?
Yeah, they do this once a year, this big report, and they interviewed more than 27,000 people, customers chosen at random and contacted via email for this report. So it's got a big depth of responses from people. And it's important because every wireless company claims to be the best, but if you talk to people, they're really not all the best, and they all do a different job at delivering customer service.
Yeah.
So a broad overview, and then I'll get into more detail. Customer satisfaction with T-Mobile, Verizon Wireless, and AT&T was unchanged from last year. It went up for Sprint, but dropped dramatically for U.S. Cellular. So let me run down the big four guys and tell you what they did. So T-Mobile, based here in Seattle where I live, is the smallest of the country's major carriers, and it was the top again this year in this ACSI, American Customer Satisfaction Index survey. Customers said the company gives the most value by offering the best range of plans. They have a whole lot of plans. So T-Mobile scored 76 out of 100, unchanged from last year, but it's 3 percentage points higher than the industry average. And it is also 2 points ahead of number two, Verizon, which is the company's largest wireless company, which also started here in Seattle, Washington. We do coffee, we do wine, and we do beer, and we do most companies and tech. And it has a 74 out of 100. And no doubt that Verizon excels when it comes to overall quality. They have a really, really good network. But the customers said their value was about average compared to the competition because they can be a little pricier than some of the other wireless companies. AT&T second consecutive year, scored 1 point below Verizon, so that was 73. And it has a very strong network, but seen as pricier than T-Mobile, so that, again, saps some of the satisfaction. U.S. Cellular, while beating Sprint again this year, it was the only mobile network provider to drop in customer satisfaction. It went down 4 points, and in this survey, that is a big drop to a below 71. Due to mostly a weaker perception of value, along with a decrease in network quality. So they got hit by both ends, and they have a brand new marketing slogan called Choose Fair, which has not resulted in happier customers, the report noted. I don't know what that means, but that's their slogan, Choose Fair, but it hasn't helped them. And finally, Sprint, always at the bottom, still at the bottom, despite a 2% increase in satisfaction. Sprint remains at the bottom of the pack, 66 out of 100, 10 points lower than T-Mobile, and customers said that Sprint was last when it came to network quality. Of course, the big question is going to be, what is going to happen now that T-Mobile and Sprint have merged? You're going to have the top wireless company and the bottom wireless company when it comes to satisfaction, and how is that going to work out for everybody? I asked the managing director of the American Customer Satisfaction Index about that, and because they've studied these kind of situations before where there's been mergers like this, and his quote was, Nick, quote, data from past mergers and acquisitions suggests that this is probably not going to be a good recipe, not going to be a good recipe for customer satisfaction, at least not for a couple of years. So it's going to be interesting to watch the combined company. It is indeed going to be very, very interesting to see what happens there.
Wow. My provider is, I'm with Verizon.
Okay. And I had them from year.
I'm very satisfied. I think Verizon is actually, I think Verizon is a little, is pretty great. And, I mean, it's, they are, I will say this, they are a little pricey, but the service, mm-hmm. I can't complain about the service that Verizon gives.
Well, I was a Verizon customer for years, I guess from the start, basically, and I just switched about a year and a half, 2 years ago to Xfinity Mobile, which is the next carrier we're going to talk about. So if you have Comcast in your territory, do you have Comcast in Chicago?
I do, yes, yes.
Okay. So, because you have to be able to, this is only available, it's nationwide service, but it's only available to people where there is Comcast. This is interesting because Xfinity Mobile, which was launched in 2017, now has more than 1 million customers. So they gained 1 million customers in less than 3 years. And they're now large enough for the first time to be included in this survey. And they had a 79 out of 100. So they beat every one of those network wireless providers, outscored T-Mobile by 3 points. And despite some of the struggles some people have reported having with Comcast and pay TV, they are beating expectations when it comes to this mobile service. And here's the interesting part. They get their lines from Verizon. So I'm literally using Xfinity Mobile and getting Verizon service on my mobile device.
Oh, wow.
And I went from something like $86 a month for two lines to $24 a month because all you pay for is the data. You don't pay for anything else. You don't pay for your voicemail. You don't pay for the line time. You pay for your data. And 1 gig of data is something like $12. I'm rounding off, but $12. And my wife uses less than a gig, and I use less than a gig, so we basically pay $24 a month. That's an enormous savings over the course of how many years?
It's huge.
Yeah. So something people might just want to consider if they're thinking about doing that. And there's no lock-in thing either. You know, it's a monthly subscription, but it's based on how much data you used each month. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, my parents do that. My parents pay for only the data that they use, and their bill dropped enormously.
Yeah. Now, there's also, you know, some people in seniors, they like some of these companies called specifically, are you familiar with Consumer Cellular?
Oh, sure.
So they're specifically targeted at seniors, very simple, straightforward marketing, very simple, straightforward packages, and they were the top-rated wireless company of all. They had 83 out of 100, and they use AT&T and T-Mobile networks. So all the guys use somebody else's service, so it's not like you're going to get a good network. So they're using two good networks, T-Mobile and AT&T, and they hardly beat the competition, even though they dropped just a little bit from last year. And the subscribers said they appreciate the range of plans they offer, and again, that you pay a lot less. It's based on what you use. You can choose and pick and choose how much data I want, that kind of thing, a lot more than some other companies allow you. So that's another one to consider. Also, if it's in your area, Consumer Cellular, Again, 83 out of 100 when Xfinity was 79 and T-Mobile was, what did I say, 76. So that's a big spread between 76 and 83.
Yeah. I see these. I see the commercials for consumer all the time.
Yeah,
they're really smart in terms of how they're marketing it, because it's all based on seniors, and they're really really marketing it at how easy it is, you know, because some seniors struggle with you know, technology and things like that. And they really are doing a great job. The commercials are really great, and you know, they stress how simple it is and how varied it is. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And one other thing about marketing, since you brought it up, I talked about this in my story. You know, everybody's talking about 5G, the next generation of wireless is going to change our lives and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, faster and et cetera. Yeah. Well, sometimes the hype is getting ahead of the technology here. And since 2019, AT&T has used slogans like 5G evolution. And 5G, and the first step to 5G, and like, who knows what the heck that means, but critics have said that's making people believe that you're really 5G now across the board when you really aren't. And a lot of complaints from the competitors that these slogans were misleading. And as I write in the story, the National Advertising Review Board just, and they're a part of the Better Business Bureau, the National Advertising Review Board, and they're a self-regulatory agency, on May 20th, they told AT&T to stop using those 5G claims. They said the claims will mislead reasonable consumers into believing AT&T is offering a 5G network, which it is not. AT&T said it didn't agree with the decision, but it will offer to change its marketing based on that. So that's going to hopefully help clarify something for people who thought by getting AT&T they were getting 5G service now. And remember, it only works if you buy a brand new 5G phone. 5Gs don't work on your 4G phones.
Right.
So when this finally gets in there, you're going to have to buy a brand new 5G phone. So yeah. Just keep that in mind as well.
And it's this whole 5G thing has been so convoluted. The way they've been handling it in the media, it's just so. I mean, it's confusing. It's convoluted. It's misleading. You know.
Yep. And two types of 5G. There's going to be two different. It's when it finally rolls out, it's going to be a typical mess.
Yeah.
Because it's going to you the consumer figure it out, as opposed to you guys who make the technology figure it out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's already like just a crazy story. So they had to remove those slogans then.
They weren't forced to, but they agreed. It's a voluntary industry. It's a regulatory body run through the BBB where advertisers or people can complain about advertising, and good advertisers will, if they agree to, you know, if they take part in this, they agree to abide by the rulings from this BBB organization. So they said they didn't agree with it, but they would make a change. So that's good to see.
Okay.
That's good to see.
All right. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weissbaum is with us, Consumer Man. Check him out at consumerman.com or call us up right now at 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio in downtown Chicago, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, on a Monday morning, which means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. We are also going to talk about best friends, because today is Best Friend Day. So we'll talk about your best friend, memories of your best friend, and then best TV friends. So Classic Carson, which we always play, Johnny Carson Show, you can watch on Antenna TV every night. So we always play some clips, a clip every morning at 2:30. And we're going to play some classic Phyllis Diller, who was hilarious. And, of course, later on, my dad's going to tell a joke because it's Monday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We continue with our good buddy Herb Weissbaum. He's the Consumer Man, and you can check out consumerman.com. And we've got some more consumer stories to talk about, and we've got some people on the line who have questions and need some help from Herb. And that's what he's here for, 312-981-7200. Hello, Herb.
Hello again, Nick.
All right. We have a couple people on the line. Here's Joe on WGN. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm wondering, do you know if the first phase of the stimulus checks have, you know, the majority have been sent out? Because we never received one. Should I sit tight, or is there some way to, you know, check on what the status is?
The majority of them have gone out already. Did you file taxes in 2018 or 2019?
Yes.
Okay, so then yes, I... Okay. I would go to the IRS website, irs.gov, and there's a button right near the top that says, where's my refund or where's my stimulus money or whatever, and stimulus money. And you can find out from them what's going on. You can go through the system and find out. Yes, you should be checking at this point in time, because they're down to people who they didn't have. And did you have any money direct deposit? Or did you get a refund and have a direct deposit to a bank account?
We do have a direct deposit. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
set up. But so I would imagine at some point, if I were to go to Where's My Refund, I would have to insert our Social Security number.
Yeah, not Where's My Refund, Where's My Stimulus Payment.
Oh, okay, Where's My, okay.
That's fine. Again, if you know where you're going, certain times you have to put your Social Security number in. I mean, it's not like you never use it. You have to use it wisely. If you're trying to get information from the IRS, they base everything on Social Security number. You've got to put it in. You've got to make sure you went there and you went, you know, type it in, IRS.gov.
That's okay, fine. You're kind of cutting out, so I didn't get all of that. But
well, just go to the IRS website,
yeah,
Joe.
I will.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I got my stimulus check a long time ago.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, I got a letter because it was direct deposited. But,
right.
You know, but I got it a long time ago.
Yeah, and it had a strange thing on it, because it didn't say, like, stimulus payment. It said TRE, I don't know, it said something, but they sent you a letter to tell you that, so that was really good. But, yeah, if you have paid your taxes and had a direct deposit refund, you should have probably had your thing by now. So it's a good thing to check for anyone listening who hasn't gotten their money
yet.
Herb, I've actually got a question for you, because I got mine in a traditional check. I had to wait a little bit longer, and they told me, hey, it's coming, when I checked on the IRS website, all that kind of stuff. But then I got a letter like a week or two later. Why would I get the check and then the letter telling me, here's your stimulus check?
Obviously, you've never worked for the federal government, Thomas.
No, I have not.
I don't know what else. Two batches of mail, and the one was sent out before. Yeah,
right.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but be thankful you got both, quite frankly. You know,
yeah, I'm cool with it. I got the money. That's all I care about.
Yeah. Okay. Here's Mel on WGN. Hi, Mel.
Yeah, hi there. Nick, welcome back.
Thank you.
Mr. Herb, question, please. On that $12 phone between you and the missus and with the consumer service, what have you, no voicemail, that's fine. What about caller ID? Is there a caller ID so I can at least get back to them on my land phone?
No, I'm sorry, I misspoke. You get it, you just don't pay for it. I have caller ID, I have voicemail set up. It's you don't pay for it. That's free. It's part of the service. All you pay for is the data.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's just like any other... It's like any other phone company. You get all the GWIS bank stuff, but all you pay for is the data you use.
So since I already, like you say, there's a connector or whatever with AT&T and T-Mobile, since I already have a AT&T land phone, so if I best to just get over there and I check it out with AT&T?
No, this is sold through Comcast, through the Xfinity stores.
Through Comcast, okay. Where do you...
Comcast, they buy the airtime from other companies. You just go to Xfinity.com, which is you can do it online. You can do these whole things online these days.
Okay, so just go to Xfinity.com, Mel, and they'll help you out with that. And good luck. Thanks, Mel. Okay, one more story here.
Then if you change phones, you know, from one to the other, you'll have to eventually, when things ease up, go to the store and have them port the data, take everything from your one cell phone to your other cell phone,
right,
which takes a while. You can certainly do that once they, you know, once COVID regulations get into effect, you know how to get into a store again.
Right. Okay. Here's an interesting story here. People aren't going to their gym because the gyms are closed, and yet they're still getting charged. How is that possible?
Well, if you have it set up to pay the money automatically, some people have it taken out of their checking account. Some people have it billed to their debit card or billed to their credit card. Some gyms around the country have been dinging people for the charge, even though the gym is closed. And the point of the story was that's really annoyed a bunch of people. And a number of groups have tried to, and attorneys general and various consumer agencies have contacted a lot of the big gyms across the country and said that really doesn't make sense. You're asking people to buy for a service that they're not using. And then some of the companies were really good at dealing with that. And some of the companies pushed back and said, well, we're just going to applied as a credit to move it forward. So you couldn't come in, you know, March, April, May. So you'll come in whatever. And some of the AGs have taken a strong stance and said, no, they didn't use the service. That's their decision if they want to do that. If stop billing them, number one, and return the money that you got from them, number two. Some of these are still in the litigation phase. Some of them in the talking phase. But if you have a gym membership and your company has been billing you or continues to bill you and you haven't been able to use the service, I guess the best advice is to complain and say, no, I'm not getting what I paid for. I'm not paying for it. If they don't help you out, you can file a complaint with probably the Better Business Bureau or your Illinois Attorney General's office or the AG's office in any state where your vast listening audience may be listening from. And if that doesn't work and you did pay for it on a credit card, then I would suggest you challenge the charge or let them know you're going to challenge the charge, because they don't like that when people do, and tell the credit card company, they're charging me for this service and I didn't get the service and I want the charge taken off my bill. So that's the way to approach that. But it is kind of interesting when you get tied up into these subscription kind of things that sometimes they don't stop even though you don't get to use the service.
Yeah. There were a bunch of consumers on the West Coast had a big win in this, and East Coast had a big win here.
Yeah, I don't have the story in front of me, but yes, they did, and the AGs, like I said, have been working with these companies to really make them stop doing that, and I think that's really good. I think the point for your listeners is if you're still getting billed by your gym and you still can't go yet, you need to talk and say, hey, what's going on here? And if you like the idea and maybe want the membership to roll forward, that's fine. And if you don't like the idea, I think you need to exert yourself and say, no, I don't like that idea. You charged me for a service I didn't get. I want my money back, and if you don't do that, I'm going to contact the credit card company.
Okay, there you go. All right, Herb, always a pleasure, my friend, and everybody can read your stuff at consumerman.com.
They have a brand new section for me called Consumer's Notebook, so you can find it on checkbook.org, and you can find it also on consumerman.com.
Okay, there you go. We'll talk to you next month. Herb, stay safe, buddy.
Dude, be well. Thanks, Nick.
Okay, buddy, take care. Herb Weisbaum always helps out, always interesting, and he is our consumer man. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. It's Best Friends Day. Today is Best Friends Day. So we're going to talk about our best friends and remember them if you still keep in touch. And then we're going to talk about some of the best friends on TV. So 312-981-7200 if you want to get in here and talk about your best friend or best friend-related topics. All right, 312-981-7200, Nick DiGilio and WGN.